All right, if you take your Bibles now and turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're looking at verse 13 tonight, and specifically just the first part of this verse. I'll read the whole verse to you. The apostle says, "Wherefore, because of God's electing grace, because of God's saving grace, because of Christ's purchase with His precious blood, because we are kept by the Holy Spirit, wherefore, because of all of these things that I've stated before, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up your mind. If I had a title, that'd be it. Gird up your mind. Scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. What in the world does Peter mean by this? Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the expression here is to be prepared. It is one to prepare for action. It's taken from an Eastern custom. Long ago, they used to wear long robes. And when they were either to run or to be in a hurry, or that they were to journey a long distance or even prepare for battle, they would gird up the robe. They would gird it up so that they would not trip over it as they were running or as they were engaging in warfare. Now remember, the Lord told Israel on the night of the Passover, when the Lord was to pass over the land of Egypt, after the blood of the Passover lamb had been shed, after it had been applied, you remember He said they were to eat the lamb, roasted with fire. They would eat the lamb with your shoes on your feet and your loins girded. They were to get ready to travel. They were to make great haste and get out of Egypt. What a picture here it is of us who are believers in Christ. The lamb has been slain. The blood has been applied to our hearts. God has passed over us in judgment, passed over us. And now we are to eat the lamb. We are to eat Christ by faith. Isn't that what He said? "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood." What is He saying? This is by faith. We do this. And as we journey in this life, as we engage in battle, in warfare, as we studied last week, we are running a race. And in order that we not be hindered in our race, we are to gird up this coat, this linen of our minds, gird it up, so that we do not stumble, that we do not fall. Believer, our journey through this life, we face many difficulties, trials. We're perplexed. Oh, I tell you, I thought I knew something when I was younger. But I tell you what, the more I grow, and listen, this is even spiritual, I grow in grace. The more I understand the gospel, less I understand what's going on around me. I'm perplexed. I'm often asking, what's going on? How in the world are these trials and difficulties going to work out for my good? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Is this not a question you face? You know, when a person is wicked and they hurt someone, do you realize the person that is hurt hurts worse than the person that hurt them? person hurt you, they may feel guilty about it, but they don't ever feel that pain that you feel. Why? Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? Why do we seem to be so few who believe the gospel? Does this perplex you? Why? Is this not the most gracious thing you've ever heard, salvation by grace? Isn't it the most wonderful thing, and yet men despise it? And I tell you, the years go by, we grow fewer and fewer, not more and more. I think that the gospel is being preached clearer today than it has been in centuries. And yet there are fewer people who understand it. This often perplexes us. We are often cast down by sickness, disappointments, troubles. We have troubles that are common to all men, but we have other troubles that other men don't face, spiritual troubles. We are engaged in spiritual warfare that most of this human race does not understand. We are persecuted, especially by those of our own household. Our Lord told us that, didn't He? He said, they'll hurt you the worst. They that be of your own household. We are fearful. We are doubting. We're often unfaithful. We sin against our God whom we love. We offend our brethren. We are easily tripped up by the afflictions and sins of this life, aren't we? We're easily tripped up. How easy it is for us to fall. Is it not easy? You remember when Peter was able to walk upon the water? Was it a hurricane that caused him to sink? No, it was a slight wind. Just take the slightest wind and we begin to sink. We are easily tripped up because we are weak. We are surrounded and pressed on every side, both without and within. Therefore, believer, let us remove from our minds those things that would hinder us. Do you desire not to fall so easily? Do you desire not to be troubled? Peter here is encouraging us to something that we would not easily fall. And that is, you have to gird up the loins of your mind. You have to take away those things that would hinder your faith or your love. Your faith or your love. I don't know about you, but I have great troubles in my mind. I figure this out. No matter where I go, there I am. I can't escape me. And that's one of my greatest troubles. Is I can't escape the things in my mind. Our mind. Now they may be caused by outward trouble. They may be caused by other people. Or our own heart. But it's in the mind that we are troubled. You know, if you were troubled in your heart, you wouldn't know it unless you were troubled in your mind. Whatever comes out of the heart goes where? Where does it go? Goes to the mind. And then from the mind, it goes into action, doesn't it? So what he's trying to do is he's telling us, look, gird up the loins of your mind so as not to fulfill what your flesh desires to do. We're troubled in our minds, the mind. We are prone to wander. Isn't your mind prone to wander? Anybody else besides me? I'm preaching and my mind will go over here. It's just prone to wander. The things we put in our mind, how often do they leak out? By the end of this night, how much will you even remember? Our minds are weak. My mind is engaged with holy things, and in a moment, I can have such vile thoughts. You see, friends, the battleground between between the old and the new nature is in the mind. That's where the battle takes place. It's in the mind. There's a warfare that is engaging in our hearts. And where does it manifest itself first? It manifests itself in our minds. This is the battlefield. It is most often here in the mind where the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Flesh desires to sin, but the spirit desires to refrain. And then there's a struggle. The flesh is always trying to, in your mind, trying to justify the sin. And all the while, your new man is in the mind telling you, no, there's no justification for it. And you're struggling. You struggle. Luther said this about evil thoughts. He says, I cannot stop the evil birds from flocking, but I can stop them from nesting. And this is the idea. Girding up the loins of your mind. No, you can't stop the evil thoughts. That flesh is going to put them in there before you even know you had them. But we can stop them from nesting. So then the apostle, by the illustration of girding up the robe, so it is not to fall in battle or running, so believers are exhorted to gird up their minds so as not to fall or be tripped by the foolish and vain thoughts of the old man. So that we do not fulfill the lusts of our flesh, we must gird up the loins of our mind. How then can we do this? Now, the word of God, the word minds in this text is translated in another place, understanding. Go over to 1 John. Go to 1 John. This is where I pray the Lord will help me not to muddy the water, make it clear. I hope it makes it clear. This word mind is translated in this text as understanding. Look at this in John chapter 1 John 5 and verse 20. It says, and we know. You know, you believer in Christ, you know something. John telling you, you know this. This is something you know. We know that the Son of God is come. How do you know that? And hath given us understanding. Now that word understanding is a mind. He has given us a mind. A mind of what? Understanding. Now, why has He given us this mind? Purpose, that we may know Him that is true. Now, we know He's come, and He's given us a mind of understanding in the new birth. Why did He do that? That you might know Him. Isn't that what Paul says in Philippians? That I may know Him. Paul knew Him. But I tell you what, I surely don't know Him as much as I want to know Him. Spirit's given me understanding, but it's not yet full. That we may know Him that is true, and secondly, we may know this, that we are in Him that's true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God, Jesus Christ, is the true God and eternal life. Everyone who is saved by grace, we know these things. We understand some things in our mind. Even because we have a new heart. Again, where does the thoughts come from? They come from the heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adultery. See, it begins in the heart, comes through the mind, and out in the body. So why do we get this knowledge in our mind? We get it because we have a new heart. And this new heart produces understanding of some things. That we may fully understand them. We may not fully understand all of it, but we do know it's true. Listen. Listen, I know he's true. I know that. Can I set that against what we experience and see how it worked? No, I tell you sometimes that my experiences seem contrary to that knowledge. But see, I have to gird up my mind in this and set aside the experience and know this. I know he's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I know that we are in him. You often feel you're in him. Your experience, you walk around with a big smile on your face, feeling you're in Christ with a skip in your step all the time. No. So we have to gird up our minds in understanding this, that we are in him that is true. And so that we may, who are born of God, I'm speaking to God's people because this text is. This text is speaking to God's people. We know. We understand. He's given us a mind. We know this. Listen, gird up your mind with this. We know that we were dead. Before God came to us, we were dead in sins. We know that we were without hope, we were without God, and we were guilty. We know that. In fact, this is the beginning of grace, isn't it? For a man to know these things, for him to have an understanding of his mind that he is without a doubt, totally and absolutely without hope. This is the word of God. He strips us of our earthly and fleshly carnal hopes in making ourselves acceptable. Therefore, I know, I understand. And I have to, because of that understanding in the initial act of grace, we have to gird up the loins of our mind and understand that that nature hasn't changed. That the old man of sin is still in us. We must gird up the loins of our mind with this. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now listen, if we don't gird up our minds with that truth, if we don't gird up our minds with that understanding, surely we'll justify anything we do. We have to gird up. I like that in I believe it's in Isaiah. He said, look to the pit from whence you were digged. Now, where was that pit? That was Adam. We were all dug out of that same pit. We were all in that same pit of sin. And we gird up our lines. We who know this, we have been born again, we know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Knowing the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. How often do you feel things in your heart and say, oh, I just feel it with all my heart. And you're just totally deceived. If you don't remember who you are, we are so easily duped by our own feelings. Gird up your mind. Don't always trust how you feel. Because our hearts, the old man, is full of deception. And remember, at the appointed time, God gave us light to know and to understand that the Son of God is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't that the second thing he showed us when he saved us? He showed us who we were. And he showed us who Christ is. That he has come. That's what John says. We know. We know that the Son of God has come. What did he come to do? Save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now listen, we know this, that all men are sinners. But all men don't know they're sinners. Very few know themselves to be sinners. I like that hymn Joseph Hart wrote, a sinner is a sacred thing, the Holy Ghost hath made him one. If you're a sinner, who told you that? Who gave you that understanding? It was the Holy Spirit that gave us this understanding. And with this understanding, He also gave us something else. That Jesus Christ has come to save what type of person? Sinners. He came to save sinners. Listen, if that's your condition tonight, then I'm telling you, Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. So then, are you in some warfare of your minds? Are you in some trouble? Then gird up your loins with this. You know what you are. And you know Christ came to save that type of person. Gird up your loins of your mind with that understanding. He came to save sinners. Well, that's what I am. Well, that's good for me. He came to save sinners. He came to fulfill. How did He do this? We know and understand that He came to fulfill righteousness. That's how He saves sinners. To fulfill righteousness. That's what He told John. He said it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. That's why He came. To fulfill all righteousness. He said, I came not to destroy the law, but what? To fulfill the law. To honor the law. In Isaiah, He said to magnify the law and make it honorable. That's what He came to do. And secondly, by His blood, He would satisfy the justice of God for our sins. Gird up your minds with this. Set your heart to know these things. Set your mind to know these things. Do you know them? Yes. Do you know them completely? No. Are you constantly focused on these things? No, we're often distracted. That's what He's trying to tell you. Bring it in. Bring it into these things. I am by nature a sinner. Christ is my only Savior. And He did this by providing righteousness. Righteousness. We are to gird up our minds and come to Him. Because He requires nothing. Isn't this the most astounding thing? That Jesus Christ requires nothing of you? He requires nothing of the flesh, simply to believe on Him and His accomplished salvation. To trust in His person. To believe in His work. To rest your soul on Him. Now, if you've believed on the false Christ of the world that requires something of you, that's what the false Christ of the world desires. He's done something to save men, but man, he didn't finish it. You've got to finish it. If you believed on a false Christ, who's only made salvation possible and the rest has to be finished by religious ceremonies or vain tradition, I tell you, repent of that. Gird up your mind and repent of that. Turn from that and believe on Him that is true. Believe on Him that has finished the work of God. I told you that picture this last Lord's Day. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, isn't He? The Sabbath, that was done in the very beginning when God rested from His creation. He finished creating. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath in that He's done saving. He saved His people from their sins. Salvation's been accomplished. Therefore, we are born of God. We know and believe on Jesus Christ. We know Him that is true. And we will not believe another. Is that true of you? Will you believe another? No. There is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If the Savior I worship is false, then there is no salvation for anyone. But he isn't false, is he? We know him to be what? True, John says. He's given us a mind, an understanding of him that is true. He is true. We know him. We will not follow another. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A stranger's voice they will not follow. I know this. You've heard men preach a false Christ. What happens when you hear of a false Christ? Does not something go off in your mind? Does not something go off in your heart? You may not be able to pinpoint it, but you know something's wrong. I remember I used to listen to men when I was driving a pest control truck at night. I'd drive in the middle of the night doing jobs, and I'd have the religious radio station on. And man, these guys would come on and talk about real good things. I mean, they'd talk about marriage, and they'd talk about finance, and they'd use scripture and everything. There was this warning bell just going off inside of me. I knew something was wrong, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. These men, they're saying good things. It's not anything that they're saying is I can find wrong. But yet there's something that I know is wrong. And he said this. He said, it's not what they're saying, it's what they're not saying. What they refuse to say. They refuse to preach Christ. They refuse to preach a successful Savior. And then it just hit me. That's it. Why? I know him that is true. And I will not follow another. I cannot believe on another Christ except the Son of God, the successful Savior. John says, we know him. We know he has come to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I know this, I am in him. Gird up your minds with that. I am in him. We know and understand that we were in him because God put us there. I'm not in him because I'm a good person. I'm not in him because I merited being in him. I'm in him because God put me in there. When did God put us in there? We know this. We know when he put us in there. Before the foundation of the world, God put us in union with Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us, where? In Christ Jesus before the world began. I know, you that are believers in Christ, you gird up your minds with this, I know I'm in him. Because God put me 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, but of God are you in Christ Jesus. And believer, you know that. You know you're in Christ Jesus. It's what Peter was saying at the very beginning of chapter 1. He's saying to the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. You were the elect according to God's wisdom. Believer in Christ, when doubts and fears come, gird up your minds with this understanding. You remember that armor that Paul talks about in, I believe, Ephesians 4, I think it is. He said, put on the belt of truth. You know the belt ties everything together? Without the belt, the pants fall down. He's saying everything falls apart without this. The truth. This is the truth. And we know it's the truth because we are in him, because God tells us this. I know I am in Christ Jesus and believe on Him alone. I know I was in Him before the foundation of the world, because God hath made us accepted in Him. Therefore, God by Jesus Christ hath made me holy and without blame by Jesus Christ. Gird up your minds with that. Next, believer, gird up your minds with the understanding of Christ's perfect work. You may gird up your minds, know you're a sinner. You know that Jesus Christ saves sinners. You know that God put us in Christ. But listen, if Christ's work was not perfect, none of that matters. If God put you in Christ and Christ's work wasn't perfect, how good is it? What good is it? What good was your election? What good is the understanding of your depravity and that Christ saves sinners? We must gird up our minds with this, that the work of Jesus Christ is perfect. Perfect. Now, we often trip and fall because of our imperfect works. Isn't this the reason we fall? Isn't this the reason we're downcast? Because of our lack of faith, our lack of love, our lack of hope. Because we are looking at our faith. How often do you look at your own faith, your own love, and your own hope? Is that anything to look at? How strong is your faith? How strong is your love? How confident is your confidence in your confidence? Weak. Therefore, believer, gird up your mind so that your faith is not in your faith, but your faith is in Christ alone. That our hope is not in our hope, but our hope is in Christ alone. That our love for Christ is not rooted and based in our love, but His love for us. Gird up your minds to understand then that Jesus Christ is all. He's all. He's all our righteousness. All our righteousness. We contribute nothing to His perfect righteousness. Rather, God was not willing to charge us with our sins. Now, if there's one thing we can own, it's our sin. One thing that belongs to us is our sin. And yet God was not willing to charge you with your sin. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Isn't that right? That's a blessed man. God was not willing to charge us with our sins, so in grace He charged us with Christ's righteousness. Do you realize you have the same name as Christ? Jeremiah chapter 23. This is the name whereby He shall be called. What? The Lord our righteousness. That's His name. Does He not deserve that name? He is the Lord our righteousness. Guess what? In Jeremiah 33, this is the name whereby she shall be called. The church. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. So when you and I are bogged down with our sin and our guilt and our shame, gird up your mind. Know this, by nature that's exactly what you are. But Christ came to save it, and His salvation was so perfect that you get His righteousness. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Gird up your minds that God calls us who are born of God. We believe on His Son. He calls us righteous. So then, no matter our struggle, no matter our failures, our griefs, our sorrows, or our trials. This is what God says to you. So you don't fall down. Listen. Say you to the righteous. Who is he talking to? If you're born of God, he's talking to you. If you believe on Christ, he's talking to you. Say you to the righteous. It is well with you. It's well. Can you say that about your situation right now? Gird up your minds. We know him that is true, and everything that he says is true. Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with him. He shall eat of the fruit of his doings. You understand that? You're going to receive exactly what you got coming to you. What does a righteous man have coming to him? He has the blessings of God. He is accepted with God. How can this be? How can this be? Because I know in your mind, you're warring. I am. I know this is what it says, and yet I look in the mirror, and that's not what I see. So what do? You war. There's a warfare. Gird up your mind then. How can this be? We're so full of sin, so full of unrighteousness. How can he call me righteous? Believer, it is true, we do have this old man of sin, and he has not changed. Therefore, we struggle against sin in our members, sin in our minds, sin in our hearts. Yet consider the understanding of this truth. Jesus hath forever put away your sin. This is how you can be righteous. This is how he can take his righteousness and give it to you. Because he took all of your sins and put them away. That's how he can call you righteous. What do you call a man with no sin? You call him righteous. He's righteous. He has no sin. He's holy. He's without sin. Where's your sin? Gird up your minds with this. Where is your sin? How can God be just and justify you if you still have sin? He couldn't. He took your sins and put them away. He forever put them away. Gird up your minds with this understanding because it's true. See. Psalm 103. And look at this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth thine iniquities. Who healeth thy diseases. Well, how can he do that? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He did this out of tender mercy. Mercy. He put away your sins. Forgive you of all your sins. And because of his mercy. Now listen. How long is God's mercy going to endure with you? If his mercy is what forgives you, then how long will he endure? The scripture says his mercy is as high as the heavens. How high is his mercy? His mercy. Let me see, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His mercy is everlasting. It is from everlasting to everlasting. How can we know his mercy? Because Christ has removed our sins from us. How far? You can't measure as far as the east is from the west. You just can't measure it. That's how far he went away of our sin. I like that picture of the Great Day of Atonement. Remember? He killed the sacrifice. He brought he had two goats, and he confessed the sins on the scapegoat, right? He killed the other one, brought the blood in. And then that strong man, he picked up that scapegoat who had all the sins confessed on him. And he started walking. And as you see him, he's walking. He gets smaller and smaller and smaller until he's gone. Christ took away our sins. He took them to a land unknown. And you see that strong man coming back, don't you? What's missing? The goat. The sin. It's gone. Consider this, that Jesus Christ's death has paid the full debt we owed to God. He is that fit man that carried away our sins to an uninhabited land, the habitation of God's forgetfulness. Gird up your loins of your understanding of this. God says, I will forgive their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. Is there any condition that you need to meet in order to get that? That's a covenant God made with His Son for you. I will forgive your iniquities. Well, I don't deserve it. Of course you don't. But He does it anyway. I will forgive their sins. Jeremiah 50, in those days and at that time, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For, here's the reason why, I will pardon them whom I reserve. And this was done by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter says in our text in chapter 1, he said that you were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Gird up your minds with this. Set your attention on these things. Christ's salvation was perfect. So perfect that God said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Let us gird up our understanding and consider Christ, who we know. Consider the gospel that we have heard and believed. Consider the great work of salvation that He has accomplished. Gird up your minds with this. And lastly, consider and gird up your minds with this truth. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King. When Christ died, He was buried. And when He was risen from the dead, where did He go? The Scriptures are plain. It tells us He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ Himself said that all power is given to Him in heaven and in earth for this purpose, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given Him. Jesus Christ is King. Our troubles of mind often arise because of circumstances. It's not right. Because of circumstances, because of something that is contrary to the way we think it should be. Go to Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark chapter 6. Think about this. In Mark chapter 6, you know that this is the time where the Lord took the five loaves and the two small fishes and fed 5,000 men. What a miracle. Now these disciples had pretty much been abused and hated, and Christ had been rejected everywhere they went. And all of a sudden, they got a following. 5,000. What if one day 5,000 people just showed up at this building? How would you? We'd be falling all over ourselves, wouldn't we? We'd be amazed. That's exactly how they felt. And yet look what happens. Something contrary. Something's going to cause a struggle in their mind. Look at this. It says in verse 45, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get in the ship. He made them get in the ship. Where are we going? Boys, get in the boat. I don't understand. Get in the boat. He constrained them to get in the ship. To go to the other side of Bethsaida. And he sent away the people. You got that? 5,000 show up here. And all of a sudden, if our Lord were still present, all of a sudden he says, all right, you guys, leave. And I'm going to send these people away. These people away. You wouldn't understand either. And so they get in the boat, and they said that he sent them away and departed into the mountain to pray. Not only did he send the people away, not only did he constrain them to go to the other side, the Lord didn't go with them. Look at this. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea alone, and he was alone on the land. And it was smooth sailing. Is that what it says? No. Sailing, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. Believer, gird up the understanding of your mind that the way of the believer is not smooth. Everything in this world and the feelings of your old nature are always going to blow contrary to the way you think it should go. But this is our comfort. Gird up your minds with this. It's going to be rough. But this is our comfort. Look at this in verse 48. He saw them. Listen, our Lord is not bodily with us, is he? I wish he was. I wish at times I could feel him. But it doesn't matter. He sees me toiling. He sent the wind. Be contrary to me. But this is my hope. Look at this. In about the fourth watch of the night, they'd been rowing for about 9 hours, and he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. The thing that caused them the most trouble, he walked on. Was there any resistance? Him. He wasn't striving to walk against the wind. He was walking, and it seems as though he'd just pass him by. It was a casual stroll on the sea. Consider this, the troubles that we are toiling with, Christ walks on. What we seem to be oppose us, Christ controls. So therefore, believer, keep rowing. Rowing in faith that the clouds and darkness we so much dread shall soon break with blessings on our head. Know that behind every frowning providence hides a smiling face. Because he who promised to come will come. He will come. not in the time you demand, but in the time that is best. He will come walking on our troubles. I like that God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea, rides upon the storm. Believer, in Zephaniah chapter 3, it says, don't let your hands be slack. Don't be slack in faith. Don't be slack. Gird up your loins of your mind in faith, trusting Christ. Why? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He's King. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Why? Our God reigneth. He will save us. He will rejoice over us. Why? He has taken away our judgments. He has conquered our enemies. And He dwells within us. Gird up your loins of your mind, because nothing happens to you for evil. You have to gird up the loins of your mind in faith, because you're not going to see it with these eyes. You're not going to feel it with this body. We have to believe what Peter's telling you. Gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober. Other places said, be sober, be vigilant in these things. Be vigilant, gird up your minds. And this is what you see in all of this. Listen, Christ is all, isn't He? You're the sinner. That's all you've got. Keep that in mind so you're not deceived by your own heart. Then see this, Christ is Savior. Savior. We know Him that's true. We are in Him that's true. God put us there. And because His salvation is perfect, all our sins are gone. He has given us His righteousness, and He is King. He is King. He rules over all our troubles. Now, God, I do pray that God give us the ability to follow this exhortation. It takes effort in this. We must search these things out. We must remember these things. I pray God give us grace to do so. Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, dismiss us with Your blessing. Use the word as you please. Father, I do pray You give us strength to gird up our minds in these things so that we are not deceived by our flesh. Father, gird up our minds concerning Christ, that He is all our hope. Set our hearts and minds and faith and hope upon Him who is true. Help us in our trials. Come to us, deliver us from our enemies. Keep us in the faith as You promised. Help us to give You the glory and praise for it in Jesus' name.